Welcome to the Brute Strength Podcast, bringing you worldwide experts from all areas of health and fitness. We cover training, nutrition, coaching, and mindset. Welcome your host, strength and conditioning coach, 2012 and 2013 CrossFit Games champ, Michael Cashew. Mind, body, brute.
Welcome back. This is Michael Cashew, and today I want to talk to you about five ways you can help people through personal development without giving advice. And this came up because someone reached out to me on Instagram. Her name was Jasmine, and she said she wanted to hear my thoughts on helping people through personal development in general. And she was some type of coach. I can't remember exactly what type of coach, but she said that she tends to talk more than she listens. And I could just relate to that so much. And so I wanted to put this episode together. And I think this is really important for anyone that is a coach, a mentor, a leader, or even if you're just someone that wants to have a positive impact on those around you. You're probably going to be in conversations with your friends, your loved ones, etc., where they come to you for advice or support or whatever it may be. They're going through a challenge or an obstacle, and that's your opportunity to have a really big impact on them. And the way that you respond to that conversation, the way that you show up in that conversation, will determine how impactful, how effective you are at actually helping them. If you master this, you are going to be able to get people incredible results. Whether you are a CrossFit coach, a nutrition coach, you lead a tech company, whatever it is, if you learn to facilitate and show up in these conversations really effectively, you're going to get people great results. You're also going to create raving fans. When you're able to help people reach their next level of success or growth, you become extremely valuable in those people's lives, whether that's a friend, family member, a client, or a colleague. And then as a coach, you also, when you're able to get people better results and you're able to take them to the next level, your own sense of confidence and self-esteem and your abilities just skyrockets. You start to really feel like, man, I really know what I'm doing. And if you don't figure this out, then you can come across as pressuring people, right? Jasmine said that she tends to talk more than she listens. One thing that I've noticed in my coaching is, you know, especially in personal development, I've spent so many years so focused on my own personal development, and I've read so many books and done courses, and I've just lived and breathed it. And so when I see someone, if I see a way in which someone can be doing something better, my tendency is just to blurt out advice as quickly as possible. When I do that, I can come across as pressuring. Anytime we are either an expert or we just feel like we know a lot in a subject, we can succumb to what's called the writing reflex. We know a better way for someone to do something, and we want them to do it correctly. We want to show them how to do it correctly or show them how to do it better. We can also make people defensive, or even after a while, we can make them resistant to our coaching. We can make them resistant to even having these conversations with us. So I want you to think about anytime you're going through a hard time, or maybe you're not even going through a hard time. You're just kind of talking about what you're going through, you know, with a friend or a colleague or something like that, and they just start giving you advice. How does that feel to you? You probably feel a little defensive or resistant, unless you've specifically asked them, hey, what do you think about X problem? Even then, there are ways in which we can show up that make people less defensive. But if people just blurt out advice to you, you probably get defensive. I certainly do. I've always been a very independent person, and I've been so to a fault at times, to the point where when my parents would give me any support or advice as a kid, I would immediately shut it down, and I didn't want their direction. And so that was obviously to a fault for me. But I think all of us have that in us to a certain extent. We don't like unsolicited advice, right? Unless we've asked for it, in which case we're soliciting it. So there is a new, there's a new distinction coming up in the field of psychology called client-centric coaching versus coach-centric coaching. So the old model, the traditional model, is more coach-centric. The coach becomes the expert, or the leader becomes the expert in the field and guides the client or the athlete or the friend through the problem. The coach dictates the direction. The coach is just giving advice. The new model is called client-centric, and that's where a coach simply allows the client to dictate the direction. It gives a lot more credit to the client. One of my mentors, Eben Pagan, taught me a concept of minimally supporting others so that they get the aha moment. They get to be the hero of their own journey, and they get to build their own self-esteem. There's something magic that happens when we're going through something, anybody's going through something, and we struggle, and then we have this insight all of on our own accord. It starts to build a self-esteem that there's no way we would have had if a coach or a teacher would have given us the answer in the first place. And so this model of client-centric coaching is really starting to explode right now. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Five ways to use client-centric coaching to help others through personal development. Number one, ask questions and really listen. Ask more questions and really listen to people. What I've figured out through, I guess, 230 to 250 of these podcasts now is that a lot of the best questions happen because I'll ask one question and then I'm really, really listening to the person, and I'm not worried about what my next planned question is. I'm just really listening to the answer that the person is getting and kind of reading between the lines. And then I ask a follow-up question, just as if I was in a natural discussion with a friend. So ask more questions and really listen to people, and then realize that a lot of the biggest insights for people are going to happen on follow-up questions or follow-up on follow-up questions. So you have to really be listening to people rather than just waiting for your turn to talk or waiting to give advice. Start to give your clients or your athletes a little more credit and assume that they already have the answers inside of them. And the best that you can do is simply hold space for them, ask great questions, and allow them to come to those answers on their own. So number one is ask more questions and really listen. Number two is, before giving advice, right? You may have just asked a whole bunch of questions and you feel like you really, really understand where they're coming from, what matters to them, and what their next level of development is. So before you go and give advice, maybe towards the end of a session or something like that, really check in with yourself on two things. One, check in to see if you're just trying to be the hero, right? And this takes quite a bit of self-awareness. Check in with yourself if you're just trying to give advice to stroke your own ego. And number two is, or B, I can't remember if I said A or one, B is, see if there's a way that you can just continue asking questions or leading the person in a conversation so that they come up to that answer all on their own. So it's similar to number one, but number two is more like checking in with yourself before you give advice to make sure that it's coming from a genuine place and making sure that you've exhausted all possibilities of letting the client or the athlete or the friend come to the solution on their own. Number three is ask them what they think they need to solve the problem. So remember earlier I talked about the writing reflex. Man, the reason that I can talk about this with such confidence is because I still to this day struggle with it so much. And I have so much throughout my coaching career. I have the writing reflex so badly. I want to give advice so badly. And I've realized that it just doesn't get people the best results. You know, and people definitely come to me for support and advice from time to time. And I still have realized that a lot of times what has them leaving the conversation with me feeling best is when I just ask questions, when I just hold space for them. And so number three is ask them what they think they need to solve the problem is, rather than just blurting out advice. Number four is if they don't know the answer or they don't know the solution to their problem, which they certainly might not. It can be really hard. It can be really easy to spot a solution for other people versus in ourselves, because we're too in it. We're too clouded by our own biases. And so if they don't know the solution, if they can't see the solution clearly, then use something called motivational interviewing. So motivational interviewing is, there are entire books written about it, but in this context, simply try. So if you see a few different things that could work for them, then say the three and then ask them, out of those three, what do you think would make the most sense to you? So if it's, you know, I want to lose 10 pounds, you could say, well, you know, something I've seen work for clients in the past is A, you could just track your protein each day because that's a really important number to hit, maybe the most important to start with. You could simply write down all of the food that you're eating in a day. Don't worry about how much you're eating. Just track all of your food, because we know by simply tracking, you're going to become more aware of what you're eating and what you're putting in your mouth. Or three, you could just focus on getting to the gym 4 days a week. Don't worry about the food yet. Just make it to the gym 4 days a week. You are already doing three, so that extra day should be a no-brainer. Which of those do you think makes the most sense of you? Makes the most sense to you? And one really powerful lesson I learned from John Berardi, the co-founder of Precision Nutrition, is him and Precision Nutrition, the way that they start building habits with their clients is they might use something like the motivational interviewing technique, and then they will ask, before someone decides and commits on one of the three things, they ask, are you an 8 or a 9 out of 10 likely to follow through on that habit? And if you're not, then let's pick something else. So, you know, if someone is a complete couch potato and you're suggesting that they go to the gym 5 or 6 days a week for 2 hours, how likely are they to actually stick to that? They're probably like a 1 or 2 out of 10 likely, right? They might do it for a week. Maybe they'll do it for like a couple days and then they'll fail. What we want to be doing as coaches is really helping people to build their self-esteem and to build their integrity with themselves. So help them find a thing, a habit, an action that they are 8 or 9 out of 10 likely to follow through in. And number five is, as you get to know what matters to people, as you get to know them in general, as you get to know where they're headed, what their goals are, start to reflect what you see as their future self, as a higher version of themselves. One of the most valuable things that mentors have done for me is, especially when I'm feeling insecure or I'm feeling like I'm feeling like I'm a nobody, they tell me the strengths they see in me. They tell me how they see me acting in the future, how they see who they see me becoming in the future. And, you know, I will have glimpses of that man at times, but when I have that reflected to me by people that I trust, by people that I really highly respect and admire, right? My coaches, my mentors, what it does for me is unbelievable. It fills me with so much motivation and inspiration and hope. That's what we want to be doing for our clients. As we get to know them and where they're headed and what really matters to them, start to reflect and start to really speak to them as if they are already that person. Tell them where you see them going. Tell them how much you believe in them, if it's true. And with most people, once you really get to know them and you get to know their strengths and you get to know what their goals and their hopes and their dreams are, I think you can genuinely have a really powerful reflection for them. So just in closing, number one is ask more questions. Two is, before giving advice, really check in with yourself first. Number three is ask them what they think they need to solve the problem. Number four is, if they don't know the solution, then try motivational interviewing, right? Give them 3 to 5 options that you've seen work with other people, and then have them pick something that they are an 8 or 9 out of 10 likely to follow through with. And number five is start to reflect what you see for them in their future. And if you use even one of these five, I want you to start to notice how your clients respond to you. Notice how your athletes respond to you. Pay attention to the results that people are getting. Pay attention to how much more comfortable these conversations are, how much people start to reach out to you and look to you for support. They'll probably be more open and will actually follow through and will start to get incredible results by following through on what they commit to in the sessions with you or just conversations with you. And I want you to notice how, by taking this approach, the pressure to always have the right answer will start to dissipate for you. As coaches, we put so much pressure on ourselves to always have the right answer, to be the hero to our clients. And if we start to assume that our clients already have the answers inside of them, the pressure starts to dissipate and we can actually be effective. All right, I think that's it for this one. Guys, we have about 20 to 30 people now joined in this really informal 90-day challenge that I'm doing. So my 90-day challenge is to do 3 of these solo episodes per week for 90 days. The reason that I started this is because I had a ton of fear about doing these, and I've wanted to do them for probably 2 or 3 years now and just given myself a ton of excuses. And so I decided that I really wanted to blast through that insecurity. I wanted to rapidly get better at this thing. And so rather than just start doing an occasional one, I'm doing 3 a week for 90 days, and I'm really working on mastering this skill. 20 to 30 people have joined me in a 90-day challenge of their own. And so I want to invite you listening to the show right now to join us. We're 2 weeks in, but that doesn't matter. You can start whenever you want. I'd like you to pick something that really matters to you in your life. Maybe something that you've really been wanting to do, but you've been afraid of, something you've been putting off. And pick a skill or habit, pick something concrete that you can do either every day or multiple days a week to really build towards something. People have picked online courses, they've picked a nutrition habit, an exercise habit, they've picked things in gymnastics, they've picked something with their wife. We've got people all over the board. So I want you to pick something that really matters to you. And if you're in, hit me up on Instagram. I am at Michael Cazayoux, Cazayoux. Let me know that you're in and let me know specifically what you're going to be doing over the next 90 days. I'd be stoked for you to join me. Later, guys.
This episode is finished, but your training journey continues. Head over to brutestrengthtraining.com/SSW and grab your free pack of 32 accessory workouts that you can incorporate into your training and start improving your strength immediately. That's brutestrengthtraining.com/SSW.